Okay, we're in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis, and we're dealing with all the cases where you violate Shabbos to save someone's life. In Halacha Tes Zayin, the Rambam ended off by saying that when it comes to saving someone's life, you don't have to consult Beis Din, meaning you don't have to pause and make sure what you're doing is correct. Rather, if you know there's any chance of saving someone's life, you must violate Shabbos. So Rambam's going to continue with some of these cases. In Halacha Yud Zayin, he says, Nafal Tinok Lebor. So let's say a child, a baby, falls into a pit. So Oker Cholya Umaleu, right? V'afa pi shehu misakin ba madrega b'shas akiraso. So it's permitted, or you're obligated to get him out of the pit. Even though when you're doing that, let's say you end up dislodging some dirt, and in doing so, you produce a madrega, like a step, which would be an isser normally to do on Shabbos. In this case, of course, it's you're allowed to do it as a result. Or, Ninala deles bifnei tinok shover hadeles umotzio. So let's say a child is locked in a room, so you're allowed to basically break the door down to get the child out. V'afapi shu mefatza osa kamin eitzim, shiru'yu l'malacha. Okay, Shema Yivayis Atinok V'yamos. So even though in breaking down the door, you're now in a sense making like beams that you can now use on Shabbos, and that will be a separate malacha. Nonetheless, since there's a problem that the child may become extremely frightened and lead him to die as a result of his anxiety, it is therefore you're allowed to break down the door. Nafal Deleka V'yisham Adam Shechoshishin Shema Yisaref Mechaben Osa L'Hatzila Min Ha'esh. Okay, so if a house gets on fire and there's a person inside and you're concerned he may die as a result, you could put the fire out and save him from the fire. V'afbishu kovesh derech umisakna b'shas kiboy. Even though what's going to end up happening, so when he does that, let's say there's a problem with kiboy also, but there could also be that he's creating some sort of path to get into the house as a result, which would also be like a byproduct of what he's doing. Nonetheless, of course, that's mutter to do. And as he says in the end, v'chol kodem lahatzil harezem meshubach, whoever is first to save somebody is praiseworthy. V'enotzarech lito shos meizin v'chol davar sheish bo sakana. So again, he emphasizes, which is the theme of this parak, is that you do not need to consult meizin in these situations. So again, if a person enters any situation of suffix, sakana safashos, these are just categorical examples. A person must act, and he doesn't wait to consult a Rav or Beis Din, rather he acts and is perfectly allowed to do. Okay, now comes another type of situation, which is where, if you have, it's a few cases like this, where an avalanche or building or a case like this falls on somebody or collapses, okay? So Lach Yerchas, he says, Misha Nafal Lav Mapolas. So let's say it was an avalanche, and it comes down, and you see there's a person in there. Suffolk, well, as I said, not that you see a person in there, but Suffolk husham, Suffolk ain't husham, mifach min alav. Okay, so you're not sure what it called. You're not sure if there's a person in there or not. You need to remove the debris to find him. Matzo chai. Let's say you find the person; he's alive. Afa pish in his throat states v'yefsha sheyavri. Okay, mifach min alav mosino so lechai ososha. Amazing idea. So let's say you find someone trapped in the rubble, okay? And it's pretty clear that while he's alive right now, in the next, few, let's say, hour or so, he's not going to make it, okay? Now, of course, maybe in the movies or TV, that's something that they can talk about. It's a little harder to determine that today, but let's assume somehow that was the case, okay? So what you might think is, well, basically, since we know he's going to die in the next hour, so there's no reason to violate Shabbos. Nonetheless, the halacha is even if you know the person will die soon, nonetheless, you still get him out of the rubble, even if he's going to live for that, extra hour. So you do violate Shabbos for somebody in a situation where, even if you know his situation is terminal, nonetheless, a person still violates Shabbos to go ahead and save that person. Okay, now in that same case, halacha yates badko ad chatmo. Okay, and this is a very, very famous Rambam, which is based in the Gemara. So let's say you check let's say he's buried in the rubble and you come up to his nose Okay, v'lo matzo bo neshama. Okay, so, and you see there's no breath, there's no, nothing coming out of his nose. Okay, meaning he's not breathing. Now again, obviously today, the way we check breathing is a little bit different. It is, I mean, in other words, we do check pulse and things like that, but it's not the craziest thing to check someone's breathing from their nose. But the Rambam, based on the Gemara, would say that, this is Chazal's understanding, if there's no air coming out of the nose, manichanus osham shekvar meis, so he's dead. Okay, so again, today we wouldn't say that necessarily, because we know that people actually can stop breathing for a small period of time and be resuscitated. But in their medical understanding, if there was no breath coming out, the person's dead. Butko matzo el yona mesim. Okay, so now second case. Let's assume, whether you want to say it's a building collapse or an avalanche, whatever it might be. Point is, let's say you have, it's multi-layered, okay? Meaning that, what do you call it? There's bodies on top, people on the top area of the avalanche, and let's say people in the bottom area. So if you find in the top area the people are dead, lo yomru kvar mesu tachtonim, right? You don't say, well, since the people on top are dead, and there's more weight, so to speak, towards the bottom, it must be that the people on the bottom are dead as well. You don't say that. Ella mifafkin ala kol, sheshrav apolos yamos elyom yetachton chai. Because it's possible that the people on the bottom made it. So even though, what do you call it, statistically speaking, it's less likely. Again, we don't play with those odds. We say that you must remove the rubble and try and save as many people, even if the people on top were definitely dead. Okay. Okay, so that ends that section. Okay, now again, there's going to be other actually, I shouldn't say that. There's a little more, but now we're going to mix in a situation of non-Jews. Okay, so now what the Rambam's doing halachically is he already dealt with one suffix, which is, let's say you're unsure in the situation of, let's say an avalanche or building collapse, of whether the people person there is dead or alive. Now the next level suffix, or an additional suffix, is going to be a mixture of Jews and non-Jews. Okay, so ha'isa chatzar sheish ba goyim v'israelim. Okay, afil Yisrael echad ve'elef goyim ve'nafla aleim apolos mifachkan alakol v'nei Yisrael. So let's say there's a courtyard where there's one Jew and 1,000 non-Jews mingling together. Okay, there's one Jew there for sure, and an avalanche falls in the entire group. Okay, you're chayev to go ahead and remove all the rubble because you could save that one Jew. Okay, so again, remember, there's the question about whether the Jew is alive or not. That's one suffix. And then there's the other thing, which is that there's, you know, the chance of you actually finding that one Jew could be slim. But nonetheless, we say, since we know there's a Jew there, that's why you're chayev to go ahead and remove the rubble. Pirish echa mehem l'chatzar acheres. Okay, now let's say before the mapolas falls down, okay, before the avalanche comes down, let's say one of the group leaves, okay, and he goes into to a different chatzar. V'nafla alav osa chatzar, okay, mifachin alav shema zeh shapire shay yisrav anisharim goyim. Okay, so what do you do? So let's say one person left and went to a different courtyard, and then the mapolas goes in that courtyard. You also have to go ahead and get rid of all the rubble and try to find anyone alive there, because it's possible the Jew is the person who left. Okay, so that's how far you go. I mean, we're talking about a situation of probability being very, very slim. Nonetheless, if there's any chance you might be able to save a Jewish life, you go ahead and violate Shabbos for that opportunity. Okay, now halacha chaf aleph. Let's say nakru kulon mechatzar zu. Let's say the entire group. So remember, you have 1,000 non-Jews and one Jew. Okay, let's say the entire group leaves one chatzar, leilech lechatzar acheres, to go to a different chatzar. Uve eis akirasam pirish echa mehem. And when they left to the second chatzar, one person left. V'nichnas lechatzar acheres. V'nafla alav mapolas. Okay, v'ein yadua mihu ein mihu. Eim efachin alav. So in that situation, right, where they left, they all went from one chatzar to another chatzar, but one person went from to a third chatzar, okay. And that situation, that's where we draw the line. Why? Shekeva shenakru kulam, right? Ein kan Yisrael kavua. Because since they all left, it's no definitive information about the Jew anymore. V'chol ha'poresh v'hen k'shehem ha'halchin, ha'yiru b'cheska shepirish min harov. So then we say, whoever left, we have a chazaka, they left in the majority. L'fikach im haya harov Yisrael. So therefore, if the majority were Jews, afal pi shenakru kulam, u'pirish echa mehem, l'chatzer cheres, n'afalam apolos, m'fafkin. So basically what he's saying is that the line you draw is when you have, I'd say, a tertiary a chutzner experience, meaning you already hit a point where not only was there movement from to a different chutzner, but then another person left. There's a certain line that Rambam's drawing, which says that at that point, we go by the rov. But in general, and again, this is not as applicable today, we don't really do this today, but in general, the Rambam's idea is that there has to be some line you draw. It's not astronomically insignificant percentage that's going to create the matir to save a Jew. And the Rambam explains in that halacha what the parameters are. Okay, halacha chafes is also a very famous case. Okay, now this has to do more with adherence to Shabbos itself. Okay, and what's the case? The case is in halacha chafes hamahalech b'midbar. Okay, so a person is traveling through the desert. Okay, now again, today with smartphones and technology, etc. This is almost impossible to ever happen, but it's a fascinating conceptual case to ponder. You're wandering through the desert, v'lo yodea masaihu yom Shabbos, okay? And he doesn't know when Shabbos is. So let's assume it's a case of, to make it in today's terms, a case where you wake up in the desert and you have some sort of amnesia where, the one thing you don't remember is what day of the week it is, okay? So now, and you don't have a phone. So you don't know which day Shabbos is. So what do? Monim yom shata shisha. Okay, so you count 6 days from the day, right, that you made the, so to speak, the mistake on. Meaning, whatever the day is that you remember, you recall that you don't know when Shabbos is, you start counting from that day. 6 days. Umekadesh shvi. And on the seventh day, you make kiddush. Umevarach bo birkas yom matil b'motzei Shabbos. Right, so you sanctify the seventh day, you make kiddush, and you do avdalah. Okay, so 7 days, right? The seventh day becomes your Shabbos. However, uvechol yom v'yom, v'afilu b'yom zeshu mekadesh u'mavdilbo, right? Mutar lo lasos kadei parnasaso, b'vad kadesh lo yomus. Okay, so this is a very important point. So even though every seventh day you're mekadesh that day, nonetheless you have a problem because every day that goes by has a suffix Shabbos attached to it. Remember, you don't know which day Shabbos is, but there's no question Shabbos is astronomically one of those days. You just don't know. So there's a suffix that exists in every day. So the Rambam explains that every day you're allowed to work just enough to make money, right? I'm not sure where that job would be in the desert, but just enough to make money so you don't die, okay? Meaning you're allowed to do the minimal necessary to keep yourself alive. However, v'asu lo lasos yosar aponasaso, shechol yom yom suffix Shabbosu. But you can't do more than that. So in this situation, a person has to work out what is necessary to keep him alive. And he can't do any more than that because he's in a situation of suffix Shabbos. Okay? So again, the upshot is that you celebrate every seventh day as Shabbos. Okay? But you treat every day as suffix Shabbos. That's that halacha. Now, vim yodeh shu shmini litziyaso, right, o chamisha salatziyaso, o chiyotze bazeh haminyan. Right, so let's say he knows he left on the eighth day, okay, meaning, you know, it wasn't on Shabbos that he left, right? Harizim mutar lasos malacha ba'oso hayom. Then he could always do malacha on that day, meaning the day. Let's say he knew it wasn't Shabbos that he left, and he knew it was, let's say, the eighth day, meaning it wouldn't be Shabbos. So then it's mutar for him to do malacha only on that day. Shirei hadavar vaday shelo yotza b'shira b'Shabbos. So he didn't leave, because we can assume without question that he didn't leave on Shabbos itself. Okay, Ushar Yamim Kosim Yom Zeh Oso Gidei Parnasa Bavad. So the one opening the guy has is that if it turns out that, in other words, if he knows the day he left, let's say, and we know the guy would never leave on Shabbos itself, so that day becomes one where it's Mutadu Malacha. But every other day has a status of Suffolk Shabbos. Okay, Halacha Chaf Gimel. Okay, now we have another type of case. Okay, this is more, we'll call this a communal danger. Goyim shetzaru al ayaros Yisrael. Okay, so the non-Jews are laying siege to Jewish cities. Okay, imbo al iske mamon. Now, let's say in laying siege to the Jewish city, they're really there to take our money. Okay, and they make it clear. They say, "Listen, we're not going to hurt anybody. We simply we simply want whatever wealth is here." Eim achan lein es haShabbos. Okay, vein osin iman lachama. So you can't be machal Shabbos for that. And we don't wage war against them. Meaning, There's no sakana safashos here, okay? I mean, obviously, there must be something, a very high level of trust, but the point is that this is not a situation of sakana safashos. However, uvi'ir ha-smucha l'saper afilu lo bo'o elo al iske tevin mekash yotzin aleim b'chalei zayim m'chan aleim es ha-shabbos, okay? However, okay, if it's a city, okay, that is near the border of Eretz Yisrael, okay, so then even if they're coming for something minor, right, they want some supplies, okay, we go out to war and we're mechallel Shabbos because border cities, right, are extremely important to protect the Jewish nation. What do you call it? That was the job of the Shvatim who lived on the eastern side of the Yarden. It was critical that those forts, for lack of a better term, were maintained because loss of those could lead to possibly the an invasion of Eretz Yisrael. So there, that's where we can be machmir. And of course, v'chol makom im bol iske nefasho so she'archu mukhama or should so stam. But of course, if they're coming to lay siege to kill Jews or to wage war or stam, meaning they don't give a reason why. If you wake up one morning and your city is surrounded by catapults, or let's say put in today's terms, what do you call it? They set up artillery all around the city. Even if they don't state their reasons, right, we say Stam siege is coming to try and kill Jews. So therefore, you're chayef to go ahead and save as many, and wage war and save as many Jews as possible. Yotzin olein, b'lech chlei zayin, v'chan olein shabbos. You go out with weapons of war, and you're mechal shabbos, okay? U'mitzvah kol Yisrael, she'yichon lavo, okay, latzeis, l'lazor la'achem, she'ben matzor, u'latzilam yad goyim b'shabbos. It's a very important idea. It's a mitzvah. And upon every Jew that can, okay, come to help out their fellow Jews on Shabbos who are under siege and try and save them on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to do that. So, again, like hypothetically, if God forbid there was a city, under siege, and somehow, and I'm in America, I can get on a plane. It's a mitzvah for me to get on a plane and get over there, even if it's on Shabbos, to go ahead and save those Jews. And you can't push it off until Motzei Shabbos. Who kishiatzil lasachen mutar lahen lachzor bechlei zayin shalahen lemkomam b'Shabbos kedesh lahachshilin la'asul lavo. That's an important point too. That after, let's say, after these Jews come to save their fellow Jews and they're bringing their guns with them, they're allowed to go ahead and return home with their guns just in case this happens again. Okay, so what? And this should sound somewhat familiar when it comes to the famous question of doctors being able to drive home on Shabbos from the hospital. In other words, the idea here is that they're allowed to return back with their guns, because what would you think? You would think that once they save their fellow Jews, so now automatically the guns switch over to becoming muksa, and it's usher to carry them, etc. No. The halacha is that they're allowed to bring them back because we have to make sure that they have them for a future, a future circumstance. Okay, finally, halacha chav dalet. Okay, v'chein, svina hametarefes b'yam. Okay, so let's say there is a you're aware of a ship sinking at sea, okay, with Jews on it. Or ir shehikifia nahar, right? Or a city that is inundated by water. Mitzvah, let's say, v'shabbos latzilan, v'chol davar shechol latzilan. It's a mitzvah to go out and save as many Jews as possible. So in these types of, let's say, a ship sinking or a natural disaster, in all these situations, we're chayav to go out and help save Jews. V'afilu yachad anirdaf b'bnei agayim. So now again, the term rodev should be familiar here. Even if, let's say, there's an individual Jew who's running away from the non-Jews, and they're trying to get him. Or let's say there's a bear chasing after another Jew, right? It's a mitzvah to help save the Jew on Shabbos. Okay? Even if it means you're going to violate numerous malachas on Shabbos, even to fix your weapons to ensure you could save the Jew, all mutter to do on Shabbos. Okay, v'zoak in alein u'mischanem b'Shabbos u'masrin alein lazor osam. Okay, v'ei mischanem v'lo zoak in al davar b'Shabbos. Okay, so that's an important halacha. Okay, so we're allowed to cry out for God and offer supplications, right? And to call out to others to help. Okay, so I can get on the phone and I can contact my my friends. Okay, and also I can call out to God, so to speak, like mispalo on their behalf. Okay, however, okay, ve'mischanim lozakin ala dever b'Shabbos. Interesting. But I'm not allowed to be mispalel and cry out to God, okay, for a plague, okay? So, interesting halacha. I don't know if you can translate dever as specifically pestilence, or you can translate it, which normally is plague per se. You're not allowed to actually, be mispalel to beseech God to assist us when it's a time of plague, okay? Halacha chafei. Now, Tzoran ala yaros agayim, shlosh yavim konon l'shabbos. So if the Jewish army is planning on attacking a non-Jewish city, we can already lay siege on that city 3 days before Shabbos. The osu nimahin milchama b'chol yom v'yom, v'achiv l'shabbos. And we can wage war against these non-Jews, okay, any day, including Shabbos, achikov shenosan, until we conquer the city. V'af apishim milchamas rishos, even if it is an optional war. Milchamas Rishos, Bipia Shmuel Lamdu, right? Ad Ridta, that feel of a Shabbos, right? The Ain Sarach Lomar Milchamas Mitzvah, the Lo Kavash Yoshua Yuricha Lo Shabbos. So we see that there's no problem whatsoever of waging war on Shabbos itself, and we see that Yoshua actually conquered Yericho on Shabbos. Okay, let's just start Parak Gimel, just a couple of lachas. Parak Gimel, the majority of Parak Gimel is going to deal with one of the most important areas of Hilchos Shabbos, which is the Blech, okay? I guess that's the best way to put it, which is Parak Akira, Parak Akira and Shabbos, which is the third Parak. But it's based on an overall principle. So even though we're going to spend most of this Parak dealing with specifics about both putting food on the flame before Shabbos, as well as returning food to the flame on Shabbos, this is based on a principle, and that's in Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam says, "Mutal haskel b'mulacha be'erev Shabbos, afa pishi nigmaris me'eleha b'Shabbos." So that's an important principle. You're allowed to begin a mulacha on erev Shabbos, meaning before Shabbos, even though it won't be completed, right, or will continue to go on Shabbos itself. Shelo ne'asar leinu lasos mulacha elo ba'atzmo shel yom, because the prohibition is to do a mulacha on the day itself. Okay, but when the malacha, so to speak, is being done on Shabbos, but it started before Shabbos, okay, meaning ma'atzma from itself, then we can benefit from such a thing because we're not engaging, initiating, and producing the creative result. So let's just do halacha beis for some examples. Ketzad, poskin mayim magina erev Shabbos. So for example, I can divert water, okay. like let's say irrigation wise into my garden on Erev Shabbos im chashecha v'mismales v'leches kol yom kulo. Okay, and even though it's going to keep the water is going to keep spilling in and going into my garden and watering my field the entire Shabbos, u'manichim mugmar tachas akelim, I can start burning incense underneath clothing, okay, which makes it smell good. V'hem is gamri v'holchem kol Shabbos kula, knowing full well that it'll make the clothes actually smell good right on Shabbos itself. You could put, for example, an ointment on your skin before Shabbos, even though it's going to stay on there the entire Shabbos and be healing you. Okay, you can mix up ink with herbs on Erev Shabbos, even though they're going to sit there and finally become completely mixed and formed on Shabbos itself. The onan shel pishtan l'tanor. Right, you can put wool, for example, or flax into an oven, which is going to help change its color. Okay, uportion mitzudos l'chaya ulovos l'dagim yichashecha. You can set up traps before Shabbos for animals. I can set up my olive press before Shabbos, even though I know what's going to happen. Even though what's going to happen as Shabbos goes on, it's going to continually squeeze out oil. And I can light a light before Shabbos or a torch, right, on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to burn the entire Shabbos itself. So these are all classic examples of of starting a malach on Erev Shabbos. So let's just finish off with the Lacha Gimel, because that's going to be the introduction to what we're going to spend time on Friday. Manichin k'dera agabe esh, all right, obasar b'tanor or agabe gecholim, v'hem is bashem v'olchon kol Shabbos kula v'olchon usam b'Shabbos. Okay, so again, you're allowed to put a k'dera on the fire, okay, or meat in the oven which we'll get to what a tanur is soon, or on coal, on the coals, right? And they'll on Erev Shabbos, and they'll cook what it called into Shabbos itself. But the Yesh B'davar Zed Dvarim Shein Asurin Gzeira Shema Yachta BeGecholim B'Shabbos, and that's where we're going to start next time. However, there's a lot of restrictions specifically that apply to cooking, okay? Because the concern is that when there's food cooking on the fire, you're going to go ahead and stoke the coals. And stoking the coals is a big problem. So that's what we're going to pick up on Friday.